chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this next hour, hopefully they're going to be the views of Mr. Robert Weiss, who's an attorney, who's actually representing the families of many children who've had all sorts of problems, who've used these plastic baby bottles that are made out of a plastic material that has a beautiful phenol in it. Well, I'm sure Mr. Weiss can tell us a great deal more about this and, of course, what the issue is. But they simplify the matter. They've been poisoning our children in another way. Mr. Weiss, thank you so very much for being with us. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself? How did you get involved in representing the parents in this class action suit?
Well, basically what happened was we were approached by a lawyer who had been working on this for many years. And we're a national firm. We do a lot of class actions. We do a lot of mass torts. And when it was presented to me, I really had a hard time originally believing it. it was just such a horrible story. Basically, what happened is bisphenol is a chemical that is a synthetic estrogen. It's a female hormone. It was designed and developed as a competitive product, DES. I don't know if you remember DES, which was the subject of a lot of lawsuits with horrible reproductive cancers. DES was an estrogen that was given to women in pregnancy. It turned out that bisphenol was not as potent an estrogen as DES was. So it was never marketed as an estrogen, but it turned out to have these plastic properties. In other words, you can't burn it, you can't break it, you can't bend it, you can drop it and it won't shatter and things like that. So they put it in baby bottles. And very early on, there was a lot of independent scientific research that indicated it was dangerous because when the baby bottle is heated, the baby bottle leaks a certain number of micrograms of this synthetic estrogen into the baby's formula and into the baby's body. And as anyone who's studied endocrinology will tell you that the hormones, there's estrogen in men as well as women, but it's a female hormone, and the hormones are very tightly controlled by the body. So basically what's been happening is that America's babies have been dosed with a synthetic estrogen, a human hormone. And it's created a tremendous amount of problems, from cancers to, you know, reproductive deficiencies and you know, autism, attention deficit disorder, a variety of problems. The federal government started to investigate it, and when I got involved in it, there were 200 scientific studies. That's 200 scientific studies that indicated that this was a problem. Every one of those scientific studies was funded by an independent scientist or a research institution. The science on the other side, the industry, the chemical industry, paid for science, and virtually 95%, almost 100% of their science said there was nothing wrong with it. So you had science on two sides, very similar to what happened with the tobacco. I don't know if you remember, with the tobacco companies developed something called the Tobacco Research Institute.
Oh, sure.
And what they did is they kept the question alive as to whether cigarette smoking caused lung cancer. It was a big debate during the 70s and 80s, despite the fact that by the early 60s, the independent scientific community had pretty much made up its mind that it obviously caused lung cancer. So millions of people died as a result of tobacco, big tobacco, keeping that question alive. And that's basically what they did, the exact same thing, the chemical companies and the baby powder companies did it with bisphenol.
And, of course, this really is it's a very, very dangerous substance. And, of course, you know, it comes out, especially when you're heating up the plastic, because then it tends to leach out into the formula. And so
exactly what happens. You heat it up and it leaks out right into the formula.
And so we'll be back here in just a moment here to discuss this with Mr. Robert Weiss, who's representing the families in the class action suit, billions of dollars of damage to our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. My guest this afternoon is Mr. Robert Weiss, who is an attorney, and he's from a large national firm that has been involved in a number of other class action suits. And, of course, this class action suit has to do with the baby bottles that have been used for years for our children. And, of course, it contains a bisphenol product, which is an estrogen product. And when you heat the baby bottle up, of course, it leaches out of the plastic and gets into the formula that's given to children. And the children drink it, and it changes their whole lives. Now, Mr. Weiss has said that when he first was approached on this subject, he thought it was so ridiculous. How could this possibly be happening? I mean, certainly this wouldn't be allowed in America. There would be damaging the lives, the minds of our children, and laying them open to cancer and all sorts of hormonal dysfunction and physiological dysfunction. But as you begin looking into it, well, I'm going to let you pick up the story there, Mr. Weiss. And this is a new audience here for the next 2 minutes, so don't be afraid to repeat what you said before. What happened when you began looking into this, and what did you find?
Yeah, what I found was that these companies had systemically been poisoning America's children and then buying junk science to cover their tracks. And that's exactly what they've been doing. And they continue to do so. It's really a pretty horrible story, because it's kind of a basic human thing. I mean, if there's anything even close to dangerous, you take it away from the baby. You know, I mean, people all love dogs around babies because, you know, sometimes dogs aren't safe for babies. If anything's even remotely unsafe that would cause a fire or cause any type of disease or poison, you take it away from the babies. But the people who were the executives of these companies didn't do that. They did the exact opposite thing. Rather than retool their industrial processes and take bisphenol out, which there are companies that did it. There's a company called Born Free that's, I think, based in Tel Aviv that has developed a bisphenol-free bottle, or go back to glass bottles. They decided to basically buy the science. They did an analysis to determine how much they were going to lose in lawsuits, like the lawsuits we bought, how much it would cost them to redesign their industrial processes in order to make it safe, and they decided to just, you know, wing it with dangerous bottles. It was an unbelievable story. I had a hard time believing it myself, but that's exactly what happened.
And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the thing is that they've been totally and callously and crassly indifferent to the suffering of our children, and they've been systematically poisoning them for 20 or, what is it, pretty close to 30 years?
Yeah, it's over 20 years. The science it has grown and grown. There's an American, quasi-governmental agency that just came out with a request for a precautionary principle. The government of Canada is pretty close to banning it. The European Union has said it's dangerous. I mean,
hold that thought for just a moment here, please, as we bring it. Okay, fine. Well, as Dr. Stan and Chris, Mr. Weiss is pointing out, that the government of Canada is just about ready to ban these bisphenol products, which are these synthetic estrogens that they actually put into the plastic bottle. It has to, and of course it leaches out and gets into the child. And the European Union, what's the European Union done about this?
The European Union has agreed it's dangerous, and they ban related products called phthalates. The problem is largely that the FDA has been bought and paid for by the companies that it's supposed to regulate. And in no other industrialized country, even in China, in China, when they had all these problems, with the tainted toothpaste, they actually executed the head of the FDA, which I'm obviously not calling for or recommending. But, you would think that America is one of the more advanced countries when it comes to this. In fact, the opposite is true. America is very much in thrall. The government, particularly the FDA, the SEC, these regulatory agencies, have become basically bought and paid for by the companies that they're supposed to regulate. And that's exactly what happened here.
And I think people have to really understand that they actually, many of the drug companies, manufacturing companies, actually give money to the FDA to verify, of course, their studies. And the FDA, of course, the high officials there, you know, many of them, when they leave the government, will go to work for the drug companies at fabulous salaries. And, of course, nothing's done about it. In fact, we know people at the NIH, you know, many of those scientists work for the NIH, actually own stock in the companies of the companies they're regulating.
You're exactly right. That's exactly what happens.
And
they own stock in these companies, and there's no one to watch them. The foxes are guarding the hen house.
And,
you know, in certain things, like, for instance, let's take Vioxx, you know, which was another issue. They did the similar thing in Vioxx. They basically made a decision, and I actually saw the business plan in Vioxx that they did this. They knew how much money it would cost for them to change the warning, because if they changed the warning, they would lose sales. And they knew how much money it would cost them in lawsuits, because they did a study. And they made a decision that they were going to continue to sell it and defend the cases on specific medical causation. Yes, Vioxx, you know, increased your risk of a heart attack or stroke, but you now have to prove that this particular heart attack came as a result of this particular drug and not as a result of being over 45, which is a risk factor, being overweight, which is a risk factor, having diabetes, with any number of risk factors, right? That's what they did with Vioxx. They did the exact same thing here, but the difference is now they're doing it with babies.
And, of course, what actual effect has this had on children? I mean, is there studies that show the increase in...
I mean, you know, there's a huge increase in... We don't... The only way to really know what exactly happened is for the companies, which will, I don't think will ever happen, to open their, you know, during discovery, they'll open their books, in essence, and they'll tell us what they've studied, because they're the only ones who really studied it. But, you know, I mean, it's been linked to autism. It's been linked to, hormonal changes. The age of menstruation of girls has gone down throughout the industrialized countries. Right now, there are girls menstruating in third grade. That wasn't true when I was a kid, and I'm assuming when you were a kid. People with extra chromosomes, women with an extra X chromosome, transgendered individuals, which is now a movement, didn't exist 20 years ago.
And, of course, what you're really saying, of course, we've seen this for a whole generation, so
yeah,
now, of course...
Yeah, we've seen it, and it's not surprising to me when you realize that the children have been dosed with a synthetic estrogen. Makes a lot of sense.
Have these companies, of course, said, well, there's a problem here, we're just going to quit using it here in the United States, or do they fear that if they do admit what's happened, why, of course, they'll be opening themselves even to more in the way of litigation for what they've done in destroying the lives of so many children?
Let me tell you something. If anyone deserves to get sued, it's these guys.
Okay.
You know, it's like people may have different feelings about litigation. It's good. This is a good use of litigation.
Well, of course, you know.
This is what litigation is designed to do, to right a wrong that can't be righted any other way.
Well, of course, you know, certainly you use the analogy of tobacco, and, of course, the fact that they covered up the fact it was dangerous for so long. What is even more preposterous about the tobacco is that this very day we're still subsidizing the growing of tobacco on one hand while telling people how terrible it is, and now it not only produces lung cancer in men and women. When I went to medical school, we never saw lung cancer in women. It was a man's disease because they smoked. But then they got the women to smoke by clever propaganda.
And actually what they did is they continued to defend the cases on specific medical causation. No one, very few people who've had lung cancer have recovered a penny as a result of the tobacco companies. What eventually happened was the tobacco companies were sued for the Joe Camel ads because they were marketing to children, because they weren't allowed to market to people under 18. And what they were doing is they were having like a cartoon character smoke. And that's what finally changed the tobacco. That's why when you go to Philip Morris's website right now, you'll see a whole article about how to stop smoking, which is passing strange for a company that's been, you know, pushing smoking on people for 100 years.
But I think, of course, the tragedy is that we could not depend upon the bureaucracy, the federal officials whose responsibility was to protect the public health. And thank goodness we had lawyers, of course, who had the courage and the motivation to go out after the tobacco companies and at least bring out what had happened and at least force them to try to stop, of course, marketing to people here in the United States, or at least to curtail their marketing to children. Of course, now they've turned around, they're marketing the cigarettes to people throughout the world, and hundreds of millions of people will die because of the cigarettes that are, of course, being sent from the United States to other countries throughout the world. And nobody has ever called and held responsible for Frank murder, in my reaction. Right. This is Frank murder. They knew it was murder, and they continued doing it.
That's absolutely true.
Well, of course, you know, but we're seeing the same thing now as far as the baby bottle issue. And, of course, I've only read about this one or two times, but how soon is these cases going to come up? Are you going to be able to get discovery? Are you going to be able to bring the truth out to the American people?
Well, I mean, you know, that's really the $64,000 question. That's the big question is to how much we're going to get in discovery, how much the judge is going to allow us to get. Whether or not the companies are going to settle it and try to bury it or not. My gut is that we're in for a long fight. I don't think that these companies are interested in doing anything other than circling the wagons and protecting themselves. I hope we're going to be able to get some of these smoking gun documents within discovery. Hopefully somebody with a conscience who's working for these companies who knew exactly what they were doing is going to come forth. And you know, these people have blood on their hands. I mean, you know, and just so you understand, it's not like the worst people in the country all of a sudden decided to get together and run baby bottle companies. I mean, this is as much of an indictment of American business as anything else. This is the way business is done. They couldn't really do anything else. There was no one around who had the courage to take the hit and say, wait a minute, we did something wrong. So they took the page out of tobacco playbook and, which is, same type of thing that they did with Vioxx and they did with a variety of other big corporate wrongs, and that's what they're doing.
Well, of course, if we have any idea how many children have been actually damaged in one way or another through
this? Almost every child has been exposed. I mean, you know, you have, there's 151 in 155 kids has autism.
Sure.
Why? There's no good explanation. I mean, there's some talk about the mercury being responsible for it, but when they took the mercury out of the vaccines, the rate of autism continues to climb.
Well, because they did leave it in the influenza vaccine. They started giving it to pregnant women where it would do the most damage. So I think they're probably a multifaceted reason behind
it. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that could go wrong when you dose a baby with a hormone.
Right. Now, do we have any idea? I mean, certainly, I'm sure you've looked into this. And, of course, the bisphenol leaches out of the plastic. And, of course, this is in the clear plastic, isn't it? What about the when we look at plastics and, of course, the cloudy, do they have bisphenol in them as well?
They do. It's usually in the hard plastic. It's like in the plastic bottles. We're sort of swimming it in a way. If you ever do this, I used to do this all the time before I got involved in this litigation, you have a bottle of water that you'll buy, you'll take from home.
Right.
And you bring it in the car on a hot day and you drink half of it and you leave it in the car. And, you know, it heats up. And so you go back and you have a warm bottle of water, but it's still drinkable, so you drink it. You shouldn't do that. Because bisphenol is leaked into the water and you're drinking it.
And of course,
but there's nowhere, you get nowhere because of the physiology of babies, because of the weight of babies, because of the constant heating of the formula. There's nowhere you get it more than in baby bottles.
Well, of course, as far as the regular plastic water bottle, I mean, everybody's drinking this today because they don't want to get contaminated by drinking municipal water, so they're drinking the bottled water. Now, if you don't heat it up, I mean, if you just kept that cool, would the bisphenol actually leach out as well?
No, not as much. It's a chemical that leaks when you heat it.
All right, and I think that's important because if you have plastics, you've got to avoid heating them up. And, of course, once you heat them up, this can create all sorts of problems.
Right, that's true. You have to avoid heating the plastic.
Well, of course, now you are going on radio programs across the country to get information out on this. You know, you must feel very, very strongly about the information and trying to get the American people educated what's going on because, you know, most people think it sounds so ridiculous why this couldn't be happening. They wouldn't be poisoning our children.
You're right. That's exactly true. That's a big problem. It's people just don't believe it. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. The people are so cynical and they just think that they're distrustful of lawyers, they're distrustful of lawsuits, and they just don't believe it. But, you know, the science is basically irrefutable. And if you see right now, over the last couple of weeks, there was a front-page article by a woman named Lindsay Layton, who's a major reporter for the Washington Post. You know, the United States government has commented on it recently. The Canadian government has commented on it recently. So I think more and more, and people like you are starting to pick up the story, you know, and I think more and more people are starting to understand it, and eventually I think people will start to realize the danger there is.
In fact, I've known about this for a couple of years. I pretty felt it was just so ridiculous, I didn't want anyone...
what happened to me, too.
I know, but now we're going to be on the front line trying to get the information out. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment here with Mr. Yeah. Robert Weiss. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, Mr. Weiss, I certainly appreciate and I admire your courage in taking this on. It's going to be there'll be tremendous pressures brought to get against you for getting this out, because the last thing that the bottle manufacturers want is for the truth to get out. Now, are there a number of various companies that manufacture these bottles with the bisphenol in them?
There are a number of companies. We sued about, I don't know how many companies we sued.
All right. But there's
those are the six or seven big manufacturers, Dr. Brown's. I don't remember all the names of the companies right now.
Well, I think they would be wise to cut their losses, to change over and say, fine, there's been a problem here. We did not know about it. We're terribly sorry. We didn't mean to harm the children. But, of course, as you're pointing out, they did know about it. That's what's so unconscionable. And they
knew exactly what they were doing. They were buying the science. The chemical industry has a guy named Henges, and he walks around. He's the apologist for the chemical industry. I don't know if you remember, it was a joke back, you know, years ago on Saturday Night Live. They had a program where they had a lawyer for the tobacco company smoking a cigarette and insisting that tobacco was good for you and didn't hurt you, and it was like a joke. And that's what this guy's job is. It's like a joke. I mean, this is what he does. He basically says these chemicals aren't bad for you.
And you know, the thing is that tragically most Americans believe in science. They believe science, you know, science is there to determine the truth. They don't understand. We've got some of the finest scientists in America that money could buy. These are men who've compromised their principles, have compromised everything. We're finding this recently. I think it was Merck. In fact, it was Merck Company. It was actually, you know, having their scientists go ahead and do these experiments on whatever the drug was. And then, of course, they would go to another scientist who'd done none of the research, very prominent, well-known, a man who had the trust of the scientific and medical community, and get him to put his name as the lead article on an article he had nothing to do with. And, of course, they would pay him very well for that. And then these articles would appear in the medical literature, and doctors would read that, coming from a good doctor that they knew and trusted, and the doctors would believe it's true. And I don't blame the doctors for being taken in, other than the fact that they really ought to realize that when you have no moral foundation as a nation, how can you believe any scientist, especially when he's getting paid, you know, to actually put his name on an article that he hasn't actually written? Have you run into that at all with what you're doing?
I haven't run into that particular situation, but I've run into a lot of, I've run into a lot of scientists who are just for sale, and you know, it's obviously these companies have more money than the independent groups that are, you know, there's no contest. If a scientist is more interested in how much money he's going to make than he is about the truth, then, you know, you have a serious problem, and there are a lot of people like that. I mean, like you say, the science, it's reflective of the whole society. I mean, I guess it's really an interesting story because it sort of shows a fault line in the entire society, because throughout thousands of years, everyone has taken dangerous things away from babies. It's a natural, normal human reaction. It's not even close. And it's a little surprising, I guess, on some levels that these people wouldn't act that way, because it's such a natural reaction. But given the nature of the current climate, you know, I guess it's not surprising. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question.
Well, of course, I have no doubt that this sort of thing goes on in every field in medicine today, and that's really what's so tragic. We've lost the idealism that once made medicine such a idealistic... Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Mr. Robert Weiss, and if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're talking about the bisphenols that are in plastic. And of course, when you heat them up, as you do with the baby bottles, well, of course, this lays the child open, of course, to all the problems that come from giving an infant these high doses of estrogens. And of course, if you are drinking bottled water and you let that bottle get warm at all, why, that can do exactly the same thing. That's why you should never allow these plastic bottles to get heated. And of course, it's one thing when they've been kept cold, but when you buy them there, say you're going to a football game or basketball game, and you're buying bottled water, but you don't know where it was before they put it in the refrigerator. And of course, any of these things that have been allowed to heat up are potentially dangerous.
That's a good point. You don't know where the bottles are before they put them in the refrigerator. That's a very good point.
All right, fine. Well, of course, now, do you have quite a, I'm sure if you're the large law firm, you probably have a lot of research facilities and other facilities, people actually doing the studies for you. How soon do you think you're going to be able to get this case to court? Are they going to drag this
out? I'm in court. What we've done is we filed three class actions with a national class, and we're in the process right now of negotiating with a variety of other law firms throughout the country. I'm putting together a consortium of lawyers throughout the country who are going to be working on this. And, this is going to be very, very serious litigation. These companies are going to have to answer in a variety of different forums for what they did. And they have billions of dollars in legal fees, and the top of what they do with the scientists, they do with the lawyers. So, you know, like the smartest kid in the law school class, you know, is usually not working on our side. He's usually working, or she's usually working, on the defense side. And what they do is they have, you know, they did exactly what the tobacco lawyers did. I mean, you know, they're going to spend billions of dollars in legal fees to try to defend themselves here. And that's what we're in the process of preparing. But the process has started. We've got three lawsuits going on right now.
Well, I'm glad you have, and of course, I think it's so vitally important. But in the meantime, of course, this is a message to the parents out there of newborn children using baby bottles, and of course, to the grandparents. Get this information. This is not imaginary. It's really very real. And is there a place anybody could go up at a website to get information on
it? Yeah, the thing to do, go to our website, which is www.rightsforamerica.com. You can get there at rights4.com, rights4America, F-O-R America, however you want to get there. There's a million ways we can get there. And we've got a lot of research posted. We've got a lot of interviews that we've been doing throughout the country. Myself and other lawyers who are working with me, we've got, you know, TV spots that we've been doing.
Mr. Weiss, are you there? Mr. Weiss, did we lose you somehow, brother? Well, I hope we have. I hope Mr. Weiss is there someplace. Mr. Weiss, are you there? All right, well, we're going to try to get him back on the line here and see what's going on. I'm going to actually disconnect from him. Mr. Weiss, are you there? All right, we'll actually disconnect and try to get my producer to get him back on the line, because this is really such an important issue. I tell him, and so if my producer would call Mr. Weiss back again, hopefully we can get him on. But you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a whole generation of children, and they knew what they were doing back in the 1970s, and they went ahead and did it anyway. Of course, what we used to be, I remember when I was young, we had glass bottles, and you had to wash them out again, and then, of course, you could boil them, and that was perfectly all right. There was no danger at all as far as the child was concerned. But then, of course, they came along with these plastic bottles, but it wasn't very long before they knew about the bisphenol, and they swept it under the rug. I'm sorry we lost contact with you there, okay?
I don't know how.
Oh, well, I suspect that this happens lots of times to me when I'm on sensitive subjects, and I never know whether it's just the fate or a gremlin in the electronics, or, well, that's what we'll consider. It's a gremlin in the electronics, of course. But, of course, as you're opening these cases, you're trying to get the information out. And, of course, anybody can go up on the Internet and simply Google in Robert Weiss. That's Robert Weiss, and you'll get to his. Is this under your the website, under your law firm, or under your name?
Right. Well, what it is, it's in my law firm, but the name of the website, the URL is Rights for America. That's something that we've been doing. You know, we've been sort of, the law firm is Rights for America. I'm allowed to use that as a trade name. In some states, I'm not. So it's Rights for America. The law offices of Robert H. Weiss. And that's where you'll find it. And there's a lot of information on the site, and I invite, you know, invite people, please come to the site. And if you have any questions, if you're interested in being a class plaintiff, if you're interested in doing something about it, you know, please let us know, and we'd be happy to talk to you. We've gotten hundreds of inquiries from people who are interested, and we've got some very, very, you know, we're encouraging people to stand up for their rights, and we've got some really, really top-notch people. I mean, you know, moms who are also physicians and professors, and we're just furious with this.
Well, they ought to be furious, and I think if you're out there listening on it, you ought to be furious, too, and look at your grandchild and wonder, are they a victim? We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Mr. Weiss, can you stay with us a little longer? You're going to have to run.
No, I could stay with you until about 10 to 8.
All right, fine. Well, we'd be glad to have you with us, and we'll be seeing if we can get some callers in. Although I think that most people, probably if they've never heard this before, are so stunned, and they say, well, it just couldn't be. There's a doctor, a woman doctor, who's actually written a number of books on this very subject, and I'll have to admit I was rather loath to have her on. I thought, you know, I can believe almost anything, but I couldn't believe that. And then, of course, I had my very good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock, verify that this is actually really going on, and a whole generation of our children have been poisoned. So basically, of course, now, of course, is there anything, how are we actually able to prove that, you know, that the problem that the child had, it came from this, because you can't do a double-blind study. Are there any children who've not been raised with the, you know, with the plastic bottles? Certainly
the only people who would be not raised with plastic bottles would be people whose parents insisted on glass bottles. You could still buy them, but they're very hard to find. And the vast majority of children, I mean, you know, everyone that I know has raised their children for the last 20 years or so on plastic bottles. There is this company called Born Free that does produce a bisphenol-free bottle, and they've sort of been sounding this alarm for many years. There have been people who were, you know, they were considered sort of like, you know, I don't know, kooks. the bottles, the poisoning kids with the bottles. It sounds like the aliens are coming out of the, you know, the antennas of the TVs, and so these people are marginalized. So I don't think that the vast majority of people were raised on anything other than plastic bottles.
What about in other countries? Do we find a difference between the health of American children, who we're told are so healthy because of all the things we're doing for them, and children from other countries, because a lot of countries, they wouldn't have the money to buy the plastic bottles?
Right, and that's why throughout the industrialized, I think, that's why the industrialized countries have seen the drop in the age of menstruation in girls. It used to be 12 or 13 years old. Now you have girls menstruating as young as 8 and 9 years old. And that's not true in countries that are not industrialized. So in countries that are not industrialized, where there's, you know, there are no bottles, people breastfeed, and that's how they do it. You know, they just don't have the money to buy a plastic baby bottle. Then you don't see that. You don't see that drop. And it all makes sense, because they're being dosed with a female estrogen. And when a girl's body changes into a woman, the thing that physiologically, what changes is the level of estrogen.
All right, fine. Hang on there. We're going to be back in just a moment with Mr. Robert Weiss. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. Robert Weiss, of course, with a national law firm. And, of course, they're leading effort to bring out the fact about the fact that they've been knowingly, intentionally, and purposely poisoning our newborn children using the plastic bottles. And Mr. Weiss made an excellent point. If mothers, of course, breastfeed, as they do in other countries, the children don't have all the problems. And, of course, so many mothers want to go back to work or the other thing, and so it's much easier just to get the plastic bottle. But, of course, the companies that have been putting these out have known for years that the danger that they were subjecting the children to, and covered up the science in one way or another. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you say, I just don't believe it. I just can't believe it. I can't believe this could be going on. They'd be poisoning our children with plastic bottles, you know, that heat it up, and they're getting estrogens and getting all sorts of complications. It couldn't be true. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. The articles are out there. The scientific studies are out there. People have been yelling and screaming about this for a long time, and of course, you're not hearing about it. It's only recently there's been anything at all, even in the major newspapers, about this. Now, suddenly, does this, you actually mentioned sometimes that women will have an extra chromosome. In other words, these are X chromosome. These are the women who today, of course, were poisoned, 20 or 30 years ago. What was that all about?
Well, I mean, you know, it's chromosomal abnormalities, where occasionally people have a weak Y chromosome. They're underdeveloped males, and then they're women with three X chromosomes and they're super developed females. There's a variety of these types of chromosomal abnormalities that didn't exist, you know, in medical literature just a few years ago. I mean, the thing that I think, and you know, I haven't really spoken with anyone from the transgender movement, but there's such a thing as a transgender movement. There are so many people who are gender confused that there's a political movement about it. And in New York City, you know, it's a fairly large movement. So there's enough people, to form a movement. You just didn't have that sort of thing years ago. Now, it's possible that, it was as a result of political freedoms. But I think another, a contributing factor to it is that there's a lot of gender hormonal issues as a result of what we're talking about here.
And of course, the thing is, what we're talking about is giving little boys, little infants, male infants, significant doses of estrogenic hormones, and of course, impacting upon their development, and then of course, giving women, and of course, as a result, you get the premature menstruation, the secondary sexual development very early on. And of course, do we have any idea, how this then affects the child after they get off the bottle? What do the children usually use the bottle for? What, about a year? It's been so long since my children were growing up, I can't really remember.
No, I mean, they use it like every day for a year, and then afterwards my children took a bottle to bed with them until they were 3 or 4 years old. So, I mean, they use it for longer than a year, and then they have sippy cups, and the sippy cups are often, they have similar things. As a matter of fact, our lawsuit includes sippy cups. But the sippy cups, they're not as heated. The formula is not as heated, so they're not quite as dangerous. But, it's during that time where a baby is growing, doubling the body weight every few months, it's really dangerous when they're dosed, several times a day with this hormone.
Yeah, and of course, the trouble is, of course, you could have the bottle, and that's not going to create a problem. But when you heat it up,
you begin to vent the
bisphenol, and this, of course, is apparently well known as an estrogen. You said it was actually originally created as an estrogen substitute before diethylstilbestrol came along.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It was done as a competitive product to DES. That's how it was developed. And I don't know who, pulled it off the shelf when they never marketed it as that and decided it would make a good use of the baby bottle. But, some chemist, I guess, decided that would be true. And the reason is because it's got these properties, The general plastic, polyvinyl chloride, is a brittle thing. It breaks easily. You couldn't possibly use it without what they call a plasticizer in a baby, like they have in baby bottles. So that's how it was developed.
And of course, this gives an advantage. Of course, your plastic is not going to break. Unfortunately, of course, you're going to poison the child in the process. Well, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mac. How are you doing?
Oh, good. I had a question on the plastic water bottles.
Right.
For even, like, adults. Will those put out the estrogen as well?
Yeah, they do. If they're heated, they do.
And if you don't heat them, why, of course, you're not going to get into trouble. But you don't know where that bottle was before you got hold of it. Maybe you get it out of a nice refrigerator, but what happens, of course, if it's been, you know, sitting in a warehouse someplace getting warm? And at that point, why this bisphenol will leach out?
Right. That's correct. And 95% of the people sampled in America had bisphenol in their urine. So the odds are that, you know, you have been dosed with it, but it's probably not as dangerous as, of course it's a dangerous thing and it's not a good thing. It's probably not as dangerous. The most dangerous thing is the baby bottles.
Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to John calling us from Beaumont, Texas. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Have a question or comment for our guest?
I have a question, actually. I've been drinking, I have a Berkey water filter.
Right.
And so what I do every day is I fill it up, you know, in a plastic jug. But what I've been noticing in about the last month or so, maybe a little bit longer, is a matter of having to change these jugs out more because there's something about the taste.
Now, of course, are you having a big Berkey with the ceramic filters, or are you having the Berkey Light with the black Berkey filters?
With the ceramic filters.
All right, fine.
And anyway, what I kind of am wondering is everything's been made in China nowadays, and I'm wondering if these bottles, you know, are being made over there now with lesser quality stuff where things are even worse. You know?
Yeah, do you know anything at all about that, Mr. Weiss?
No, I don't know that. I do know that, as I said, that, you know, China, what they did is they, when they had a problem with the poison toothpaste, I think they executed the head of the FDA. And well, here, in America, you know, that isn't going to happen, and there's no responsibility. So I'm not sure in a situation like this where there's, you know, intentional, you know, disinformation put out by these companies, that you're any worse off with China than you are here.
John, I would simply tell you that if you're having difficulty with your big Berkey, how long have you had it?
I've had it probably for about 5 years,
all right,
but I don't really think it's so much problem with that.
One of the things you can do if the water doesn't taste good, you can
The water, you know, it's not bad. What I've noticed, though, is that, you know, kind of clean, you know, the bottle a little bit every now and then or change it out, and it's not too bad. But
well, if I could make a suggestion that if you're having a problem, you know, you can reactivate the filters by simply taking them all out, and you can actually boil them for about 5 minutes, and that reactivates the charcoal, and that whether that'll change it at all, I don't know, but that's what they recommend when the water starts tasting different.
Well, what
do you think it's more the bottle rather than the Berkey then?
Right.
All right, fine. Well, then I would just get some new bottles there.
Yeah.
Okay, but do not let those get hot and under any circumstances. Don't leave them in a car.
Well, you know, the thought that crossed my mind is down here we had Hurricane Rita, and so everything was out, you know, and then I guess the government said they weren't going to give out ice now, but but anyway, you know, it's all these semis and people filling up in parking lots, and you know, they were giving people all the stuff off the back of these trucks, you know. And I guarantee you it was like 100 degrees, you know.
And certainly that's the worst thing in the world you can do, and I sort of wonder what's happening to our boys over there in Iraq, of course, where they're giving the water out of the plastic bottles that are sitting out there in the heat at 110 degrees, and you know very well that's got estrogen in it.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else, John, before we let you go?
No, sir, but, you know, that thought just crossed my mind. It's just all this substandard stuff, you know, nowadays. I mean, things are bad as it is, and you get this substandard stuff.
Well, of course, but you can get substandard stuff produced right here in the United States, and that's Mr. Weiss's point. They knew this was poisonous, was going to poison our kids, and they did it anyway.
Well, what I've noticed is that you have all these American names, you know, company names, and years ago, I have a garden, and I'd buy stuff, you know, sprinklers and things like that. And you'd have, like, Rainbird and all these different American names. But all the stuff was made in Taiwan, which now I probably would think that what was made in Taiwan might not have been too bad, you know. Now you got to wonder, you know, well, all the stuff's made in China now.
You may very well be right, and thanks so much for calling, John. God bless.
Sure.
Okay, fine. Again, our telephone number is 1- 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Mr. Robert Weiss, who's on the front lines of this battle to try to get the American people to understand what's going on. Are those glass bottles available now? Can people get them? Is there any source where people can go to get those glass bottles?
Well, what's happening is that companies like Walmart are now stopping to, I mean, this is interesting, they're phasing out the plastic bottles, which is interesting because, I mean, you know, if it's dangerous, why phase it out? They want to sell out their inventory. But you can buy a glass bottle now at Walmart. You can buy a bisphenol-free bottle at Walmart. They're more expensive. And, you know, I have no business relationship with the people who make that, but, I mean, you know, it's probably a good investment.
All right, and of course, it's the best investment in the world. I mean, there's no second chance for that salad. And of course, you're going to have to wash the bottle. You're going to have to, put it in a washing machine and, of course, a dishwasher. But at least it's not going to poison the salad. We've got Paula calling to us from Florida. Hi, Paula. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, hi. I was calling about your plastic bottles you're talking about.
Right,
And I was told that if you put anything in these bottles that are bitter, like citric acid, you know, stuff like that, it will also pull the stuff out of plastic.
What about
that,
Mr. Weiss?
That's true. There are people who we've gotten who I mean, you know, they were like, you know, taking the bottles and they were scouring it. They were putting. I mean, most people don't put acid in bottles like that, but there are people who do that. And when they when they run it through a dishwasher, that causes more leaking as well. What she's saying is true.
No, one of the things I'm curious about, when you run it through a dishwasher, and then, of course, you dry it out, is it going to leach more readily after it's been in the dishwasher?
It leaches, but, you know, then it's a question of how well you dry it and everything like that.
All right, fine.
You know, it almost becomes like a physics experiment in contamination.
Well, I don't really want to. I don't want to take a gamble either with my health, or certainly with that of my children or grandchildren. Paul, anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Oh well, I tell you, it would really be good. It would save on all of making all this plastic stuff, and I think it might make more sense to go back to glass.
No, that's exactly.
Yeah, no, it does make more sense to go back to glass.
I mean, but that's a logical approach, and of course, that's not going to happen until we popularize this and until Mr. Weiss wins his lawsuit and these people quit making these plastic bottles or big corporations like Walmart stop carrying them. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Paula.
Okay.
Let's go to Gary calling from Seaside in California. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to talk to you. You know, my question, I got in late on the show, and I'm sorry to miss Weiss there, but I'm wondering, maybe you can answer this for me, is the effort to emasculate it tied in any way to this study in terms of, and I also in terms of the estrogen in soy and the like? I'm just curious, because I know that it would seem to align.
Well, I
don't understand the question.
Well, of course, he's wondering if this is a intentional effort to feminize our people. In other words, basically, are you giving the boys estrogen in their bottled milk?
I mean, I think this is all about money.
Okay, and Gary, it's certainly money would explain it, but there could be other motivation as well, as you know.
Let's put it this way. The way that these people, the way I think, I mean, if there was a way they can make money feminizing boys, yeah, but I think that it's all about money, and anything else is an unintended consequence.
All right, there's your answer from the expert on it, Gary.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much. Let's go quickly to Roger, colleague from Allentown. Roger, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, would you have any reason to believe that maybe certain of the plastics, I was thinking particularly the polypropylene, might they be totally free of any catalyzing or plasticizing agents and therefore have nothing to leak?
Well, I mean, not in baby bottles. You know, you wouldn't be able to get a baby bottle that has the plastic properties, easily without bisphenol or, I mean, there are other plasticizing compounds like phthalates, which are also an issue, that are used in cosmetics. But, you know, if you just have a pure polypropylene, I'm not good with pronunciation,
you know,
plasticizing agent, the the utilities are not as great.
And of course, the thing is that literally, as far as I know, all of the baby bottles, or almost all of the baby bottles that are plastic, have the bisphenol in it. So it's the way it's done. It's the way they've always done it. It's very effective, but it also is very dangerous for our children. And what is really so unconscionable, Roger, is they knew what they were doing, and they've allowed it to happen. Anything else you want to say?
God bless.
God bless. And how long has this been taking place now? What are we talking? Are we talking about 30, 35 years, 40 years?
Gradually over the last 20 years, certainly. I'd be surprised that there were people who were less than 20 years old who were not raised on a plastic baby bottle.
And
I've actually got to go now.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so very much your being with us, Mr. Weiss. Thank you so much, and the best of luck to you. I would like
Thank
to get you.
You
onto other programs. I'll be calling you off the air to try to arrange it. Thank you so very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest then that was Mr. Robert Weiss. Again, our telephone number, if you have a quick question, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, we had, of course, a call from Gary in Seaside wondering if this be a conscious effort to feminize our men. And, of course, I believe probably the primary motivation was money. But, yes, there really are people who want, of course, to damage our children. That is really what's so unconscionable. That is really what's so frightening. There really are people who think there are too many people in the world, people like Jacques Cousteau, who openly said, and he's quoted in the November 1991 issue of UNESCO magazine, that we need to eliminate 350,000 people a day. If you doubt that, we'd be glad to send you, of course, the material on that. We'd be glad to send you the article out of the UNESCO Courier so you can read it yourself. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are other people who have other agendas. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we've got Vernon calling, and Vernon's calling from Salinas. Hi, Vernon. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Dr. Stan, I hate to bug you on this, but I really have to ask you a personal question.
All right.
Which is, do you really believe in Lynn Mosley's book?
In whose book?
Lynn Mosley.
I don't know Lynn. I don't know the book you're speaking of specifically.
It's Politics, Prophecies, and the Supernatural.
Oh, you're talking about Lynn Marzulli's book.
Yeah, Lynn Marzulli.
Yes, I believe. Of course, I believe that the majority of what he says is right. I believe that we are seeing played out today the fulfillment of prophecy. I believe that with all my heart. Do you agree or disagree with that?
You know what? Since I've heard him on your show, he has really threw me for a loop. I got his book, and it's just mesmerizing me. It is. It's been taking everything that I thought and just threw it in the trash, and I have to totally go over everything I knew. It's really giving me a mind twister.
And of course, the thing is, you have to understand that so much of what we find in the Bible is coming to pass. For instance, we of course read Revelation 6:8, with the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, and they're going to kill a quarter of the population of the world with war and with famine, with disease, with the beasts of this world, and suddenly now we're beginning to read about famines, the possibility of worldwide famine. We're reading about the possibility that our wheat crop might be totally lost this year, almost all of our wheat. And, of course, we're finding, of course, in many other parts of the world why in Australia the wheat crops are not coming in because of the droughts. In Africa and Asia they're not coming in because of the wheat-rye rust. You have
Dr. Stan, why isn't anyone else mentioning these particular things like Lynn is?
Well, of course, let me tell you, Lynn is a minister, and even his own chief minister, he's the assistant pastor in a large church in Southern California, even his own minister has never read his book. Unfortunately, there are a lot of ministers who don't want to talk about these things because they're potentially controversial. But I believe ministers are called upon to be out on the front lines, which is why I have Lynn on our program. We'll have him on again this week, tomorrow evening, on our late evening program.
You know what, Dr. Stan, when I heard him on your program, the first thing that I thought is, what is Dr. Stan doing with on his radio program?
Well, once in a while we get somebody who's not what they appear to be, but I think Lynn Marzulli is a very sincere individual.
After listening to your show, and I went to spirallife.com, and I got his book, and I've been reading it, and it's mesmerizing.
I'm glad you're enjoying it, Vernon. He'll be with us tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock. Good night.
Right.
Bye-bye.
I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And that was Vernon. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you're in a position to help us, and I know that a lot of you are not, a lot of you are hurting financially out there. It seems that most of our listeners are hurting financially, and the people of great wealth are, well, they're listening to someplace else. But if you are in a position to help us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And of course, I think we're seeing unfolding today many of the prophecies in the Bible, specifically Revelation 6-8, which talks about, of course, the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, and they're going to kill a quarter of the world's population with the sword, and that's, of course, war, with pestilence, that's disease, with famine, and with the beasts of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, I think you really got to start looking after yourself. You need to know how you're going to be able to combat infections on your own. Basically, what you need to do is build up your immune system. You need to have adequate food, which is vitally important. And the most important thing are fresh fruits and vegetables. God made them that way. But there are other things like alibiotic. That's alibiotic. A-L-I-B-I-O-T-I-C. And it's a product we do carry. It's got oil of oregano. It's got elderberry in it. It's got certainly a garlic in it, allicin in it, and a couple of other things that'll boost your immune system. You need that. A large dose of vitamin D on hand. Vitamin D is a wonderful vitamin. It's only recently coming to understand what it is. You need to get D3, large doses of it, and the alibiotic to help ward off infection. And it really, at least it keeps me going and our whole family going. And then, of course, you need to lay in a supply of dehydrated food. If you don't have a supply in, you'd like to get one of our catalogs from the Ready Reserve Food. Well, of course, any profit that we make on this immediately goes back into maintaining our ministry. We don't get paid, neither my wife or I get paid for what we do. But we want to warn you to begin making preparations. Very difficult times are at hand. We already see the war being waged in the Middle East, a no-win war. And if you doubt this is a no-win war, that we do not go into Iraq to win the war, you need, of course, to get my December 2007 newsletter. Read it. It's a speech given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who commanded the coalition forces for a year from June of 2003 to June of 2004. And he tells you quite openly, we were not allowed to win the war. They sent our boys there to fight and bleed and suffer and die, but not to win the war any more than we'd let them win the war in Vietnam or the win in Korea or let the Cubans that we sent to the Bay of Pigs win. We sent them in to lose, of course. But we can't let the American people know that. Understand we're up against organized evil. And I fear that the next plan is going to be a war with either Syria or Iran or both of them, and then with the entire Muslim world. And here's what most people don't understand is the Sybil Edmonds story. You'll find that on my website as well. And of course, she was a translator for the FBI, how, of course, there was a spying at the highest levels of our government, that the FBI knew about it, but they weren't allowed to do anything, and that spying was transferring nuclear technology and nuclear material to Pakistan so they could build their bomb. Why would you do that? Why, it's the old analogy of the best enemy money could buy. The best enemy money could buy. We created the Pakistan bomb, which, of course, is spreading throughout the Muslim world. And I fear that the next war with the Muslim world will be a nuclear war. And if you think we're going to be able to sit here safe in our homes, I think you're sadly mistaken. Men and women become accomplices of the evils they fail to oppose. And believe me, we have a great deal to answer for as a nation. And we've allowed torture and mistreatment of people. We've financed this whole Islamic terrorist movement on one hand, talking about how terrible it is with the other. You need to get our material on $4-911 and what really happened on 911. You need to get my material going into the background of communism, the Communist-Capitalist Alliance, and of course, unfortunately, We have financed communism since its inception. Please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for radio liberty, for our provision and protection.